This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
We have some rice and something
in the freezer. Some tamar, some fruit, some rice, inshallah.
Yeah, we're planning to decorate this weekend. Yeah, the kids are excited about that.
Mashallah, that's awesome.
Yeah,
we worked on that. That was done yesterday. So now we got the Ramadan decorations. Alhamdulillah.
Good. Oh, that's awesome. Mashallah. Spiritually, I feel the most ready though, which is awesome. So it's okay about the other stuff.
That's wonderful. Mashallah.
Alhamdulillah.
Sheikh Ibrahim, what about you guys up in Canada?
We've had a lot of drama because they shut everything down. Literally like the other day, like they waited till after Easter and they shut everything down, and we had to fight to be allowed to open the masjids a little bit at least. And yeah, there's been a lot of drama on that front, but alhamdulillah, we're hopefully set to open, inshallah.
Everyone, we're live, alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to everyone that's tuning in. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. This is, you know, it came so fast, subhanAllah. You know, it's been a long year, obviously, but at the same time, here we are 1 year later, our second COVID Ramadan. But this one, alhamdulillah, things are a bit better, inshaAllah ta'ala, opened up a bit, except for Canada, which Sheikh Ibrahim was just dishing on. So we're making dua for everyone, bi'idhnillah ta'ala. But just to set this up, inshaAllah, this Ramadan, of course, our theme is Ramadan with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and meeting Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What it would be like to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to be a Ramadan series, along with Quran 30 for 30, which has a seerah focus, which Sheikh Abdullah Oduru has deemed tafsira. So we'll be doing tafsira, inshallah ta'ala, nightly as well, and we're looking forward to getting started just in a couple of days, inshallah ta'ala. With that, as we go into Ramadan, bi'idhnillah. And of course, you know, throughout this period, we'll also have the webathon at the last 10 nights, inshallah ta'ala, going into the last 10 nights. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to allow us to live to see Ramadan and to achieve all that is to be achieved within Ramadan, and to be pardoned and forgiven and attain His mercy, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Ramadan, and to develop lifelong habits in accordance with the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we can carry with us outside of Ramadan. Allahumma ameen. And inshallah ta'ala, one more reminder that the Greet Ramadan with Sadaqah is still live. If you donate at the link, inshallah ta'ala, below, your donation will be processed, inshallah ta'ala, on the first day of Ramadan, so that you get the ajr of giving within Ramadan. So please do, inshallah ta'ala, get ahead of it. And we appreciate always the support that we get from the community. You know, it was really overwhelming last year that people still gave despite the uncertainty of the pandemic, alhamdulillah, and we were able to actually grow as yaqeen to do more. So everything we do is free resources, inshallah ta'ala. All of our resources are free, and the more that the community continues to support us, the more that we're able to give back, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, through these free resources. I want to welcome the panel that we have today, inshallah. First of all, I just have to say, Sheikh Abdullah Oduru in like super high def. He looks like he's got like a TV camera. It's my first time seeing him like, I mean, he's always, mashallah, nurun ala nur, and just full of joy. But man, you've come a long way from last year's Quran 30 for 30 with the curtains blowing in the back and, you know, the fan. And we already got a face palm. We didn't even have to wait for Quran 30 for 30 to get a face palm out of Sheikh Abdullah, alhamdulillah. But his camera is like super high def. So I think the rest of us should probably just, you know, just let him talk the whole time, right? But alhamdulillah, blessed to have Sheikh Abdullah Oduru, Ustadha Lubna Mullah, who is coming to us from California, walillah alhamd, always a pleasure, and always a great benefit and great blessing and great lessons in tarbiyah in particular. And Sister Sara Sultan, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, who has been a pioneer of the trauma series at Yaqeen, and has put out just so much, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, through her writing and through her lectures and various webinars that we've had with her. May Allah reward you for filling such an important void in our community. And Sheikh Ibrahim Hindi, our Canadian, our token Canadian for the webinar. Alhamdulillah, we've got a Canadian with us. Sheikh Ibrahim, of course, well-known in Canada. And alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, joined Yaqeen full-time recently, and we're just blessed to have him there as a religious director in Canada. And I'm looking forward to hearing all of your insights, bidnillahi ta'ala. So welcome to the entire panel.
Jazakallah khairan.
Jazakallah khairan. Happy to be here.
And Sheikh Ibrahim, how's Canada? Tell us about Canada first. We caught the beginning of the webinar. So do you want to like switch the tune on Canada?
Well, like you guys know, we all live in igloos and our money's worthless. Alhamdulillah. I can't wait, inshallah, for you guys to be able to visit us, hopefully after all this COVID stuff is over. Love to show you around the best halal food scene in North America is in Toronto. So we have a lot of secrets here. That's one of them.
Yeah, I got to get one of those beaver tails. What do they call those beaver tail things? Oh, man, those things are good. That's my cheat day.
You got to try a shawarma poutine, too.
Okay. Bismillah. Put a bismillah on it.
All right. So it's Ramadan prep, and we're already talking about food. So we diverted quite a bit from the Ramadan prep. So bismillah, let's get started. And inshallah, just to mention one more thing, Mufti Abdurrahman Wahid will be coming, bidnillahi ta'ala, to join us soon, inshallah ta'ala. He is at a janazah for one of his friend's fathers. May Allah reward him and may Allah have mercy on the brother that passed away, inshallah. He said he'll join at some point, so we'll look forward to having him when we can, inshallah. So a Ramadan like his, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I want us to just sort of start off, because each one of you, inshallah, is going to be connecting a Ramadan experience that would be closest to his, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I think it's important for us to just say that whether it comes to ibadah, the realm of worship, or the realm of character, the realm of just being, you know, the best servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the best slave of Allah, the best, the most pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the supreme standard. And so anytime we become more connected to Allah, we become more beloved to Allah, and we become closer in resemblance than to the beloved one of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not just this example for us to marvel at, but he is uswatun hasana liman kana yarju Allah wal yawm al-akhir. He is the supreme example for those that desire, that long for Allah and goodness on the day of judgment, and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frequently. And so the more we remember Allah, the more we worship Allah, the more we seek to refine our character, the more we remove those things that are undesirable from our lives, the backbiting, the gossip, the waste of time, the closer we become to Allah, because the closer we resemble the most beloved person to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is our messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I want to just start off, inshallah, and then we'll start bidnillahi ta'ala with each one of you, inshallah. We'll start with Sister Sara. I want to start off with something that I noted a few years ago that I find very profound, that Ramadan engages all of the articles of iman. It engages all of the articles of faith. It engages your belief in Allah. It engages your belief in the angels. It engages your belief in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the messengers, because you are following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and fasting the way that all of the prophets used to fast. It engages al-iman bil-kutub, the belief in the books, because it is shahrul Qur'an, it is the month of Qur'an. And we honor ourselves by the recitation of the Qur'an in our lives, particularly in this month. And it is, of course, what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the month in which all of the divinely revealed books came down. All of them were revealed in this month of Ramadan. SubhanAllah, the Torah, the Injil, were all revealed in this month of Ramadan. And the Quran was revealed, of course, on Laylatul Qadr. And this is Shahrul Quran. So it engages the belief in the books, and particularly the belief in the book, in the ultimate book, the Quran. It engages our belief in the akhirah, in the hereafter, right? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the Hadith Qudsi that Allah has said all of the deeds of the children of Adam are for him, except for fasting. Fasting is for me, and I reward accordingly. Meaning it is a specific deed on the day of judgment, a specific reward on the day of judgment, because it is such a sincere deed and such a rewardable deed in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then it engages al-Qadr. It engages divine decree. Laylatul Qadr is in Ramadan. And our decree for the year will be written bidnillahi ta'ala on Laylatul Qadr. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the good of it. And so it engages all of our pillars of faith, all of our articles of faith. And we basically see that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, everything that he did outside of Ramadan that made him the magnificent person that he was, alayhi salatu wasalam, in Ramadan, he just took it to the next level. And so when we compare ourselves to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we're striving to be, you know, anything of what he was, alayhi salatu wasalam, throughout the year. But in Ramadan, you know, he just took it to the next level. And so I think the lesson that we learn is proportionality, right? If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam increased in this particular deed, which we were already lagging behind in, then we should increase in that deed, right? And the things that were the features of the Ramadan of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam should be the features of our Ramadan as well, except for one thing. And it's very interesting. And that is the abandonment of sin. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was never foul. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was never one to engage in the ma'asiyah and in the disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was never one, alayhi salatu wasalam, to engage in those deeds that would bring about the displeasure of Allah. And that is actually our starting point, that we have to see kutiba alaykum as-siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. Fasting has been prescribed upon you the way it was prescribed on those who came before you, so that you may gain taqwa, so that you may become more pious, conscious of Allah, and abandon those sins that are a barrier between you and Allah. What's just so powerful about that is that what that tells us is that what is preventing us in excelling in those good, in those good deeds is in fact the presence of those bad deeds. What is preventing us from taking that next step is our insistence upon that regressive step. And so I just think always, and inshallah ta'ala, I'll then pass it on to Sister Sara, you know, about the saying of Imam Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah, when he was asked about why we can't pray Qiyam al-Layl, why we can't pray the night prayer. And he said, don't disobey him during the day and he will wake you up at night. Don't disobey him during the day and he will wake you up at night. And so the ultimate ingredient, the first ingredient, was that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not one to engage in the disobedience of Allah. And therefore he was always oriented to the obedience of Allah. And so when the month of Allah comes, the month of Ramadan comes, then it's just, you know, you're kicking into next gear rather than starting the car. And for a lot of us, we're just starting, right? And so how do we start? And inshallah ta'ala with that, I'll go ahead and I'll pass it to Sister Sara, bidnillahi ta'ala, to get us started.
Jazakumullah khairan. Bismillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Amma ba'd. Jazakumullah khairan for the all-star lineup here, mashallah. I'm excited to prep for my personal Ramadan and listening to everybody's tips, inshallah. So the one that I wanted to focus on for today is, you know, I think when we're talking about transitioning into Ramadan, a lot of us naturally think about the increase in external acts of worship, which are very, very, very important. But the one that I wanted to focus on today is more of an internal act of worship, and that's important as well. And so, you know, this particular one is one that can allow for spiritual, mental, and emotional growth, inshallah. So it frees up space in your life for what's important. And it's based on the hadith of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where in sitting in the masjid, a man, before he walks into the masjid, Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that a man from the dwellers of paradise will walk in now. And then a man walked in. And this happened three times. And so one of the companions of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Abdullah ibn Amr, you know, was very curious. This three times Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying that this person is a dweller of paradise. What does he do that is so unique that makes him from amongst those who has such a high status in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And so he decided, you know, he requested to spend three nights with this man, and the man accepted, and he goes to his home. And what really stood out to him was that nothing stood out to him, right? That the external acts of worship were not, you know, he was doing all of the things that he's supposed to do in terms of salah, in terms of things like that, but there wasn't something that was really, really, you know, like a huge increase in typical acts of worship. And so, you know, he addressed him directly and he said, Rasulullah, you know, mentioned you as a dweller of paradise three times, and each time it was you who walked through those doors. You know, what is it about you that gave you such a status, that led you to deserve such a status? And the man said, you know, what you saw, like my deeds are nothing more than what you saw. And so Abdullah ibn Amr walks away and then he calls him back and he says, you know, my deeds are nothing more than what you saw, but the only thing that I do that, you know, that might be something special, right? The only thing that I do is that I don't hold a grudge against any Muslim or envy anyone for the bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted them, right? This idea of like husn al-dhan, right? Thinking, giving people the benefit of the doubt, not holding on to ill intent in one's heart, that if somebody has done something that has hurt you, that has offended you, to not hold on to that. And perhaps one of the ways that he did that is through this idea of giving benefit of the doubt, of being able to see this from a light, a positive light of positive intent. And you know, another hadith of Rasulullah that stood out to me about this concept is when the Rasulullah is describing the Kaaba, subhanAllah. And he's describing the Kaaba in, you know, such beautiful ways, as, you know, how pure is your fragrance, how great you are, how incredible is your sanctity and things like that. And then in the end, he says that the sanctity of the believer is greater to Allah than your sanctity. And then he ends the hadith by saying, to assume nothing but good of the believer, right? In comparison to the Kaaba. So it tells you the significance of, you know, how much the Rasulullah was encouraging us to do this, subhanAllah. And so it's something that, you know, some of the questions that come to my mind when I'm thinking about this for this upcoming Ramadan, right, is what would you be able to focus on if you weren't holding on to that grudge? If you weren't struggling with those negative thoughts about that person who said something that bothered you the other day? If you weren't so busy searching for possible ways that people might be intending to hurt you, right? If you could let go of that, imagine how much space in your heart and in your mind and in your time is freed up for other things, right? SubhanAllah. And Rasulullah, you know, talked about this, you know, my intent in sharing this is that it truly makes things better between people, but it truly is so much better for you, right? Husn al-dhan is for you. It's not for that other person. It's for you. But in reconciling things between you and that other person, that is for you as well. The Rasulullah ﷺ said to his companions that, you know, shall I not tell you? You know, shall I tell you about something that's better in degree than extra fasting, prayer, and charity? Extra fasting, prayer, and charity. What could be better than those things, right? And the Rasulullah ﷺ said reconciliation between people, making things right between people, and having positive intentions that you attribute toward other people helps to make things right between you. One of the rewards of Jannah, subhanAllah, one of the rewards that we, inshallah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through his mercy grants us Jannah, one of the rewards of that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove what is in our chests in terms of resentment toward other people. That's a reward of Jannah, right? So what if we could, you know, to some extent, gain that for ourselves this Ramadan, right? And so, you know, some of the things to ask yourself about this, right, is, you know, somebody has done something. Is there another way that I could possibly be interpreting this? What might be going on in that person's life that led to that moment that hurt me, right? Is it possible that I've been hurt by other people? And so because of that, I'm searching for possible harm in this particular situation. Is any good going to come from me attributing negative or ill intent from this person? And what could I do instead if I let that go and I moved forward from that? And so I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, to increase us in the ability to give people the benefit of the doubt, to increase us in the ability to attribute positive intent to them, and to allow that to be a purification for us this Ramadan and after Ramadan as well, inshallah.
Barakallahu fiki. And, you know, subhanAllah, right away, by the way, what came to my mind is the Sha'ban regimen, more than anything else, is clearing your heart. making space for Allah. And I think that is something, just the connection between shahna and shirk, right? And I talked about this a few weeks ago. It was something one of my teachers had shared with me a long time ago, and I never forgot it, the connection between shahna and shirk, which is malice, and shirk, which is polytheism, to associate another god. And he said, shirk tubulti ruddin wa shahna tahliq ad-din. Shirk invalidates faith, and shahna, hatred, shaves it, as the Prophet ﷺ said, because it's born out of envy and things of that sort. And I think what you just mentioned is very profound. Your opportunity cost, you know? The greatest thing you're missing out on is not, you know, your peace of mind, is not, you know, I'm not able to enjoy this time with my family. I'm not able, the greatest thing you're missing out on is you're not able to really enjoy your worship because you're so immersed in your hatred and, you know, what could even be your righteous anger sometimes about something that was done towards you. And relinquishing that grudge is really removing a poison from the heart, subhanAllah. And one other thing, husna dhan in Allah and husna dhan in the people. Husna dhan in Allah is actually directly connected to that, because your husna dhan with the people includes a natural element of, you know, if there is something I'm missing, or if they are indeed as bad as some say they are, there's a voice inside of me telling they're that bad, or that this was done, or this was the intent, then my husna dhan in Allah is that Allah is not going to let the ejr of that go to waste. Allah won't let the reward of that go to waste. And so there's a connection in the husna dhan in Allah, the good expectation of Allah, and the good assumptions that you have of people, that, you know, the biggest fear of having good assumption in people is what? They'll take advantage of that. But if you have husna dhan in Allah, they can't take advantage of that, because you'll take advantage of it, because you'll get the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with anything that happens there. So jazakumullah khair for that beautiful reflection.
No, you know, as you said that, I'm sorry, just to add one thing that came to mind from like a brain perspective, the connection between like husna dhan of people and husna dhan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you're scanning your life for ways people might hurt you, you're going to end up scanning your life for ways that you're going to, you know, feel a sense of distrust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well, right? Like if your brain is in protective mode constantly, that can even affect the ability to trust and, you know, expect good of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. So that's what came to mind as you were sharing that. Jazakumullah khairan.
MashaAllah, that's a beautiful connection, because when you have bad expectations of people, we mentioned that the qadr is part of our iman. So you have bad expectations of what's going to come from what Allah ultimately has control in, right? So that's the beautiful connection within it. And I like how you mentioned, subhanAllah, you know, not having any grudges with people, you know, subhanAllah. And that's one thing I remember one of my mentors told me a long time ago. And he said, Ramadan is when I send texts out, call people, you know, and ask, is there anything in the hearts, you know what I'm saying? If there's anything that I've done, if there's a possibility of one person, you know, I send a text or I call, it was even before text, it was, you know, I just call them and see if there's anything in the heart. And if there is, then we can, you know, talk it out, subhanAllah. So that's very important. And it takes the effort, you know, and that's what, you know, Sheikh Omar was saying about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It was kind of, you know, Ramadan, kind of ajwad mayakun, as the companion said, that he was the best, that he, best manners. So it takes digging deep within yourself and making that call or sending that text for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not easy, but it's not supposed to be easy. Allah knows best.
سادة لبنى أو شيخ إبراهيم. آه ما شاء الله مفتي عبد الرحمن وحيد. أهلا حبيبي كيف الحال؟ How are you?
الله how are you شيخ؟ السلام عليكم ورحمة
الله. الله يبارك فيكم. مفتي صاحب, we know you just came from جنازة, and may Allah عز وجل have mercy on the one who passed away, and may Allah سبحانه وتعالى reward you for being a part of that. Can you share who he was so we can make dua for him, inshallah, so the people can.
Yes, he was one of our close friend. His mother passed away. His name is Basit. His mother passed away when he was maybe like in seventh grade or eighth grade. So this person took care of him all his life. He was his uncle, his mom's brother. And he got diagnosed with cancer a few months ago, and his health started deteriorating in the last week or so. And so they were expecting it, but it happened very quickly. And he passed away Friday early morning between Tahajjud and Fajr Salah yesterday. And so today it was the janazah. And you know, it's just, it's, I don't know how to put it in words, but it's the first janaza in our institution since my brother passed away 6 months and 4 days ago. So it was kind of, I'm on here, so inshallah we'll say a few words, but it was kind of difficult because it's the first time we brought a body to our building since that time. So it just brought memories of that feeling. But alhamdulillah, Allah gave him Jannah al-Firdaws. He was a sick man. And when we put my brother in his grave, my older brother said, like, he was the youngest among us, and now he's the oldest because he's 33 years old now. So sometimes we're old, 65, 70 years old. Who wouldn't want to be young again? Who wouldn't want, you know, full hair on their head again? Who wouldn't want to be? And the moment you pass away, inshallah, you go to Jannah, you're 33 years old, you know, the age of Jannah. So, I mean, you know, these things start coming, but inshallah, he's in a better place, but I'm not sure if we are, but inshallah, we'll be fine.
Rahimahullah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on him and have mercy on your brother. Allow them to be from the people of Jannah al-Firdaws and allow us to be joined with them. Allahumma ameen. Jazakallah khair. It's hard to sort of transition back. Mufti Saab, how about you just, while we have you, inshallah, share your words. Your heart is in a good place with the Nahi Ta'ala, and you can share some non-prep, inshallah, for us. So Sister Sara just spoke about the importance of husn al-dhan in Allah and husn al-dhan in the people as well. And removing from our hearts grudges, removing from our hearts things that would prevent us from immersing ourselves in Ramadan. So would you have anything to sort of build on that, inshallah? What's your Ramadan prep tip for us?
All right. Sheikh Umar, it's good you brought that up. Something I was working on last Ramadan, and I'm so grateful that I started working on it last Ramadan. And it helped me out. This is something that really helped me out when my brother passed away on October 5th. One of the things you heard from people was that don't find yourself alone. You know, don't be driving alone in the car, and don't ever see yourself alone in the house, because that's when it's really going to hit you. Always be around people. And that is true to a point. Definitely it's true. But I found that the most comforting moments was when I was alone. Because nobody really understands what you're going through other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he put you through it. So yes, you can speak to this person. When you speak to people around you, it makes a difference. Just getting it off of your shoulder, just speaking, just venting, even talking to people around, oh, you don't understand how much difficulty it is, this, that. It just helps just speaking about it. And we understand that it's a factual thing. You know, in counseling, we let the person speak. Once the more they speak, the better they feel. I feel that in Ramadan, there's so many collective ibadat, things that we're doing together all the time. So we eat suhoor together, we pray salah together, inshallah we'll be in the masjids, then we go to work, we come back, we prepare for iftar together, then we maghrib, then isha. Ramadan is like a collective month where everyone's together, and it's great. But my tip for this Ramadan to all of us is schedule a time of your day in which you are alone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in that time that you're alone, schedule this to be on your to-do list. I mean, there's so many things. People will tell different variations, different ulama will say different things. This is the top 10 things to do when you're alone. Dua, this, that, all these are amazing ibadat. But for me personally, and anyone who is going through something similar, like going through difficulties, whatever it is in your life that you're going through, the most comforting thing to me, of course, reading books and learning knowledge and speaking to people is comforting, but the most comforting thing for me, and I want to continue in Ramadan, is just speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's called munajat. I started this last Ramadan, you know, even though I was really weak at it, but it really helped me out after my brother passed away, because you started this habit and you could bank on it after, because, you know, you just go right back into it and then you just cry in front of Allah. You just open up your heart in front of Allah, and He understands what you're going through. And so I would say that this idea of you don't need to learn du'as, you don't need to learn certain words, you just need to speak. He's your friend. He understands what you're going through. Just speak to Him in whichever manner you're speaking to Him in. It comes in hadith of a person who's speaking to Allah and he says, oh Allah, you're my slave and I'm your Lord. You know, like he literally switched it up. And Allah forgave him because of that, just because it was the way he spoke to Allah. Iqbal rahmatullah alayhi says, it's a long poem, but you know, something that we can reflect over. He says something what we're going through similarly. He says, "Dunya ki mahfilon se ukta gaya hoon ya Rab, kya lutf anjuman ka jab dil hi bujh gaya ho, shorash se bhagta hoon, dil dhoondta hai mera, aisa sukoot jis par taqreer bhi fida ho, marta hoon khamoshi par, ya arzu hai meri, daman mein kooh hai, kooh ke ek chhota sa jhonpra ho, azad fikr se hoon uzlat mein, din guzaro dunya ke gham ka, dil se kaanta nikal gaya ho." He says, "Dunya ki mahfilon se ukta gaya hoon ya Rab. Oh Allah, I'm just tired. I feel like I can't breathe. I've heard this like three times in the last week from people. I feel like I'm suffocating, even though you're in the middle of everybody. You have everyone around you, but I feel like I can't breathe." And this is what Iqbal is saying over here. "Oh Allah, I feel like I can't breathe." He said, "Kya lutf anjuban ka jab dil hi bujh gaya ho?" What benefit is there in this crowd, in this audience, when you're restless from inside? He said, "Oh Allah, I'm trying to run away from this. You know, not that I have to avoid, of course, a person," the Prophet said, "a person who meets people and is patient, and he exercises or she exercises patience on the difficulties they receive, is better than the one who's alone." But still, Allah is saying to the Prophet, "فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا." You know, when you get done with everything, O Prophet of Allah, please spend some time alone with me. And the Prophet would yearn for that time where he would be all alone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he would not compromise anything on that time. This is only for him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the people of the past, they were the people that brought the best, most justice, and they brought so much greatness to this world. But one thing they never left, Salahuddin Ayyub rahmatullahi, never missed time at night speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, "Aisa sukoot jis par taqreer bhi fida ho." Sheikh Omar, this is a crazy line. He says, "I'm searching for such silence in which even speeches would envy." So you have speeches that affect and motivate you, right? You're like, "Man, I heard that speech and it motivated me." Someone watched the new series that's coming out of Sheikh Omar, like, "Yeah, that really pumped me up." But he's saying, "I'm actually looking for such silence where even speeches would envy." Like, whoa, how did this have such an effect on this person? Khalas, he goes on by saying different things that, you know, people that understand Urdu, faqad fahima, khalas, you know, Sheikh Umar, you don't understand it, so it's not, I can't do anything about it. And another place he says, "Uqabi ruh jab bedar hoti hai jawano mein, nazar aati hai unko manzil asmano mein." See, once you have this spirit of this falcon, which is, it's roaming around everywhere, it's a public bird, but at the same time, one of the things about this bird is, it finds time alone, all alone somewhere. If you develop this quality, Iqbal rahmatullah says, then you can see your destination above the skies, meaning you could see the light beyond the tunnel. You can envision things in a much different light. I found that if we all can work on this quality in any way, it's going to be very awkward at the beginning. You're sitting down all alone, but then you start speaking to Allah as if you could really, really like feel that Allah is listening to you. It's a different feeling. And just, you know, everything is in your heart. Today, we know how to share our problems on social media to people all around us, but we just don't know how to speak to the one who is the solver of our problems. So let's present our problems in front of him so he can solve it. And I'll conclude by saying, the people of the past, they just knew how to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They never really asked Allah for too much, but they just knew how to speak to him. One scholar, he used to say, every single day in his munajat, he used to say, لَإِن طَالَبْتَنِي بِذُنُوبِي لَأُطَالِبَنَّكَ بِعَفْوِكَ وَلَإِن طَالَبْتَنِي بِتَوْبَتِي لَأُطَالِبَنَّكَ بِسَخَائِكَ وَلَإِن أَدْخَلْتَ لِيَ النَّارَ لَأُخْبِرَنَّ أَهْلَ النَّارِ أَنِّي أُحِبُّكَ. His name is Abu Sulaiman Darani. He used to say, "Oh Allah, if you ask me, if you present my sins in front of me, then I will present all the pages of Quran and Hadith about your forgiveness." So Allah, come on, my sins, your forgiveness, they don't even come close to each other. Then, oh Allah, if you present me by saying to me that, "Oh, where's your tawbah?" Like, yes, I will forgive you, but where's your tawbah? Then I will present your generosity to you. So, Allah, you also said you're generous. Then he says, "Oh Allah, if I know I'm not worthy of Jannah, but if I end up in Jahannam, I will tell the people of Jahannam that I love you." Wallahi, I never understood this until when I went through with my brother, where people are looking at you, people that are not Muslims, atheists, are looking at you like, okay, this is really going to break this person. And you look at them in their eyes and say, "I love Allah more now. I don't care what happens," right? And those people cannot believe it. Our relationship is completely different. So we just say, "Oh Allah, it doesn't matter what you put me through. Anni uhibbuk, I still love you. This is a conversation I urge everyone to start developing in this collective month of ours. Still find time where you're sitting alone and you're speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will find that this will be the powerhouse for your whole day. You will not get tired if you look forward to this and then you build upon it for the rest of the day. I hope I never took more time than what was allotted to me, even though I do it all the time.
Sheikh Abdurrahman, you really touched our hearts in a way I don't think you can imagine. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on the dear brother that you buried today and your dear beloved brother that you had to endure the pain of burying 6 months back. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. Jazakumullah khair for that beautiful, beautiful reminder.
Allahumma ameen. I found it so powerful the way that you were talking about taking your emotion and making it into a dua to help you connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I was thinking about Nuh alayhi salam and how in the Quran, Allah, he's described as saying, I'm so defeated, so help me, right? Like he takes this emotion and he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeks help from the one who can help him. And I, in hearing my clients share their emotions in therapy, and that's one of the pieces of therapy that's supposed to be healing, right? So can you imagine the healing that can also come from sharing those emotions with the healer, right? The source of healing, subhanAllah. And so it's such a beautiful reminder. Jazakumullah khairan for sharing that.
Sheikh Umar, we'll go on a phone call after and I'll translate those poems for you, okay?
It would not be a Mufti Abdurrahman moment without an Iqbal poem in Urdu. And and then making us cry and then making us laugh. Like that just it wouldn't be the same. So just may Allah reward you and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. And by the way, I'm wearing the vest in the Ramadan series. So
people have been asking me, is Sheikh Umar is he a secret Desi or not? I'm like, he's just a wannabe, that's all it is. And so the marketing team put him to this. I can tell you that for sure.
I'll tell the story of the vest because you never gifted me with one and you guys never gifted me with one. So I'll have to tell the story. I got it from a random nikah as I was going in to record meeting Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So I said, you know what? This looks pretty nice. I'm going to keep it on. So you never got me one because you obviously don't find me worthy, of your poetry or of your clothes. But alhamdulillah, someone else gave me one, Sheikh. So we're good. So now I can pretend. I can come to Miftah and I can don the vest. I can blend.
We have to get you a turban that goes 7 times around your head, not 6. It has to be 7. It has to be big enough. Sheikh Abdullah, don't do those face palms. I'm going to see you in Ramadan, inshallah. I'll see you in Ramadan.
He's doing his face palms in high def right now, like super high def. And with that, we still got a lot of time to go. Bismillah. So with that, Sheikh Abdullah, tafadl, mashkuran. You're on mute, Sheikh. This is
good now.
You're good, yeah.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in ma ba'd. Just to kind of capitalize on what Sheikh Abdurrahman was mentioning, was very beautiful in regards to, just reminding me of, which will come at the end of Ramadan, but does not mean that it's only confined to the end of Ramadan or the last 10 days of Ramadan being i'tikaf. And i'tikaf is to be stationary or devotional worship within a place. Primarily the masjid. I remember one of my best friends that I was studying with in Medina, subhanAllah, he got accepted to Medina, when he was around 17, 18. Comes from a very strong family, mashallah, tabarakallah. And I remember he gave me advice, to just go to when you go to the masjid, because we used to go to the haram and make it i'tikaf. So as soon as we get to the door of the haram, you're like, okay, assalamu alaikum to our barakatuh. Go off somewhere where no one knows you and there's no distractions, so that was huge advice for me but it was normal for him, but it was subhanAllah, it really touched me when he did that, because as soon as he did it, I knew what he meant. As soon as he shook my hand and looked at me, we traveled 4 hours and I'm like, oh, okay, got you, right? So It was, subhanAllah, I'll never forget, it was in Mecca. SubhanAllah, was the last year Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen was giving the halakat, giving the lessons in Mecca. And, you know, every time he would speak, every couple of, you know, minutes, you know, he was coughing and things of that nature, rahimahullah ta'ala. But it was an experience that after that, I was hooked. You know, it was really, itikaf was my, you know, subhanAllah, my go-to, particularly because of that reason. Of spending time alone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and conversing with him through the salat, through reciting the Quran, through asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not being distracted at all. And I think that is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful point that he mentioned and guideline and point in, for us to really ponder over and just ask ourselves how much alone time on purpose for Allah have we spent. That's what I want to talk about roughly. Not exactly the alone time, but what would get us there, inshallah ta'ala. As we know, the beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is actually three, and it's easy for us to memorize. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said three hadith in Bukhari and some Bukhari and Muslim. He said, "Man qama Ramadana imanan wa ihtisaban, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi. Man sama Ramadana imanan wa ihtisaban, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi. وَمَنْ قَامَ لَيْلَةَ الْقَدْرِ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ." So there's three things here. In these two hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, the first one, he said, whoever fasts the month of Ramadan with firm belief and conviction and hoping for his reward, then he will, his previous or her previous sins will be forgiven. Second hadith, who stands the month of Ramadan with conviction, hoping for his reward, then his or her previous sins will be forgiven. Third hadith, whoever stands the night of Qadr, okay, Laylatul Qadr, with conviction and hoping for his reward, his or her previous sins will be forgiven. So we see just the first part of the hadith is something that is slightly different, but it's all in the month of Ramadan. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking about standing in the month of Ramadan, which is prayer, which is some of the scholars mention is in another hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to desire for the Muslims to stand in prayer. And primarily the scholars mention this being Taraweeh. When Abu Huraira mentioned this, that it was him hoping for the companions to stand, but he didn't want to make it obligatory upon them. So as an encouragement, he mentioned this hadith, "Man qama Ramadana imanan wa," whoever was to stand in the month of Ramadan in prayer, primarily Taraweeh, with full conviction, hoping for his reward, then he or she will be forgiven. Their previous sins will be forgiven. So this is beautiful because when we look at Taraweeh, it's something that should, you know, looking at the Jama'ah and looking at the congregation, especially this year, for those of us that are able to make it to the masjid or hear those that are able to go, you will see people that you haven't seen in a while. And you will see all of your brothers and sisters and you're all praying together, listening to the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being recited. And also in fasting this month of Ramadan and standing in the night of Qadr. But I want to touch on primarily the second part of this hadith, because that was the first part. There's three. The second part is where he says, imanan wihtisaban. And subhanAllah is beautiful when reading the works of Ibn Qayyim Jawziyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, when he talks about this concept of iman and ihtisab. Even though I translated it as conviction on a yaqeen platform, alhamdulillah, it seems like likulli maqam al-maqal and hadha al-maqal. So, you know, we could say conviction, and it is that which is, it pushes you to do an action of khair to Allah, to your creator. You know, and that's the belief in Allah. Firstly, knowing who he is, knowing that he is one and he is not like any other. And he is the creator of all things, therefore, everything other than him is creation. And naturally, the ingrained quality of yearning for one deity, that is what is ingrained within all of creation. And that iman is that which one needs in order to pull through. And that's why he says, imanan wa ihtisaban. In Arabic, they call this maf'ulun li ajli. The reason that they did this action was for this purpose. So it was iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, conviction, trust, honor, love, all of these aspects of worship, this iman in Allah. So what I like to say is this is your motivation. This is what got you up in the middle of the night. This is what after, inshallah, this won't be all of us, but the reality is after you had your huge iftar and, you know, you unbuckle your belt buckle, you go to the extra hole, you know, it's got to get a little bigger, and you're like, okay, we got to go to Taraweeh. But you're still getting up to go to Taraweeh. It's that iman that motivated you to do so, inshallah. It's that iman that pushed you to go and pray Taraweeh with the jama'ah. Because hopefully when you are there, you have, which is next, the destination. So we talk about the motivation and your destination. That which pushed you to do an action is your iman al-wajib, and iman al-mustahab, the iman, the initial belief that you have, I believe that God created me. And I believe also that Allah made this obligatory, being this Ramadan. And I believe also that this Taraweeh will make me a better person. If I go and pray Taraweeh in the congregation, or I pray at home with myself, as the Prophet ﷺ did by himself, or with his family, this is something that Allah loves. You know, subhanAllah, I was at a public place the other day, and it reminded me of my children, and all of us have faced this. You know, I saw the guy in the aisle, and he was with his children, and his children were like, Baba, look at what I'm doing. And they were performing an action. So they wanted their dad to see them because they wanted their dad to be proud of them. Well, we as all ibadullah, we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to see us. We know that he sees us at all times, but we want him to be happy. We want him to be pleased with us. We want to go to Jannah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhu, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them and they are pleased with him, what he has given them. So this iman is something that is very, very important for us, that when we have this motivation and we have this belief in Allah that he's made it obligatory, or he's made it recommended for us, and that we will receive the reward, that is where the ihtisab comes from. The ihtisab, as scholars has mentioned, Al-Khattabi mentions, غَيْرُ مُسْتَطِيلٍ فِي أَيَّامِهِ وَغَيْرُ مُسْتَفْطِلٍ بِقِيَامِهِ أو فِي قِيَامِهِ. He says that, you know, the one that hopes for the reward is the one that does not feel a burden when fasting. مُسْتَفْقِلٍ, ثَقِيل means heavy. It is not a heavy burden on you. And غَيْرُ مُسْتَطِيلٍ فِي أَيَّامِهِ is like, oh man, it's going to be the 16-hour part of the year, man. All right, I guess I'll do this. Let's just get it over with, right? We really have to check ourselves and see this ihtisab. We're really hoping for the reward. We want this reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we know what it means because of that iman. We've established that relationship, or we're trying to establish the relationship because of that iman that we have. So trying to establish it, setting your alarm clock, looking at your calendars, saying, you know what, I'm going to make a change. Or this one thing that I'm going to be consistent on, and which we'll talk about inshallah ta'ala. It is that motivation to get to a destination. Motivation, iman, the destination, ihtisab. And that is something that is so beautiful, because when one is constantly yearning to get to that place, or constantly yearning for the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what's the reward? غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِ. And what's interesting is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what previously, his previous and future sins will be forgiven. But for us, our previous sins will be forgiven, inshallah, if we have this motivation, trying to get to this destination, hoping for the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and standing in Ramadan in prayer, primarily Taraweeh, the last third of the night, and then also fasting in this beautiful month, and standing for Laylatul Qadr. This beautiful aspect of this motivation and destination is also so profound, because when we look at our previous sins, you know, Sha'ban, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, هَذَا شَهْرٌ يَغْفُلُ عَنْهُ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ. He said that this is a month that many people are negligent upon, because it's between Rajab, min Ashhur al-Hurum, the prohibited months, and also the month of Ramadan. It is the eighth month, Sha'ban. And he loved to fast this month, and while his deeds were raised, while he was fasting. Because as scholars mentioned, Ibn Rajab and others, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always took advantage of doing actions of worship in times where people would be negligent, as we see in times of fitna. The thuluth akhir min al-layl, the last third of the night. Sallu bil-layli wa nasu niyam. Pray at night when people are asleep. Trying to do actions of worship when the majority of people most likely may not be doing it. Now with that reality, let's look at the last 10 months, because maybe Sha'ban, alhamdulillah, you know, we fasted a good amount of it. We're conditioning ourselves. We're doing a great job. But the past 10 months, when we look back, there definitely was some taqseer. There definitely was some negligence. There definitely was some sins that all of us have committed. And that's the beautiful wisdom behind غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ, that it was it's the passive tense of the verb, that it was forgiven. Previous sins will be forgiven, that we see in this beautiful, beautiful hadith. But it's an encouragement for us to look at how we can initially motivate ourselves to continue on this act. And while we do this act of motivation, that we want the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I want to end by saying, I don't primarily like the word motivation a lot, because it is something that is temporary. It's when you light the fire to motivate, but to keep it lit, you have to be disciplined. And discipline always outshines motivation. We're going to talk about that bi'inillahi ta'ala. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those that have this iman and ihtisab when standing in the month of Ramadan, standing on Laylatul Qadr, and fasting in this beautiful month, hoping for his reward that is endless and that cannot be domesticated to any shape, form, or fashion. Allahu a'lam.
Absolutely beautiful. Jazakallah khair, Shaykh. Ghufir lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbihi. I never thought of the connection between the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forgiven for all of his previous and future sins, and we seek to be forgiven for all of our previous sins. May Allah reward you. Inshallah. We haven't heard much from Sister Lubna, Sheikh Ibrahim, so bismillah.
I thought, subhanAllah, you know, I was reflecting on this the other day, that all of, like, the concept of fasting itself is all about building that iman and ihtisab. Because, you know, fasting differs from other actions in that you can't see someone fast. You know, we meet each other in Ramadan, I assume you're fasting, you assume I'm fasting, but really nobody knows if I'm sneaking off somewhere and eating some food, and if you're doing the same, Allahu A'lam, right? So in the end of the day, it's a secret between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the only reason you would follow through on a fast is because you know that one day you're going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one day you're going to get that reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Nisa'imi farhatan," right? To the one who is fasting, they have two forms of joy. The joy when they break their fast, وَفَرْحَةً عَنْدَ لِقَاءِ رَبِّ, and the joy when they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the only reason we would fast is because we have that iman that we're going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that this fast is going to have value. And so, subhanAllah, it's a beautiful talk from Sheikh Abdullah, that really all of it is building our iman and ihtisab, or building our faith and our expecting of that reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Jazakum Allah khair, Sister Lubna, bismillah, tafadlani.
Jazakum Allah khair. Just to reflect briefly on Sheikh Abdullah, I think that's a beautiful reminder, because I know for some of us, perhaps we've been fasting for many years. This was something that we're used to doing. And for others, maybe we're entering the folds of Islam just recently, and maybe this is our first Ramadan. For some, maybe they were born into Islam, and maybe this was a practice they used to do when they were younger, but for some reason, this has been a time where they have fallen off of either salah or prayer or fasting. And for some, I know there's some, there's some jokes that go around about Ramadan Muslims, but this, what you reminded us of, Sheikh Abdullah, is that it's never too late for us, because with that iman and with that ihtisab, that can propel us to say, this is the Ramadan I'm going to turn around, and all you can do is just start one day at a time. So it's really a blessed opportunity for those of us who are, all of us are on our spiritual journey. And for some of us who have really, this is a time that we're just trying to come back from a period of time and where we've been heedless, or perhaps we've been neglectful, I should say neglectful in our responsibilities towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a blessed opportunity we have to start, and it's never too late. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would never turn down your efforts, despite other people maybe judging you and saying, oh, you're just doing this, because it's Ramadan. So we should never belittle such a thing. And I hope any of you out there that are watching, and this is your time where you're really thinking, I want to turn myself around, alhamdulillah, grab onto this opportunity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, with that iman and ihtisab, it will reward you for it, inshallah.
I would just like to jazakallah khair, Sister Lubna, and Sheikh Abdullah and Sheikh Ibrahim, for mentioning those things. I feel like the word ihtisab sometimes, we could be in a position where we don't fully understand what it really means, like ihtisab. And I found that the time where I fully understood what ihtisab meant was when I coupled it with another word, which is called istihdar, right? And istihdar means being mindful, present-minded. So think about this for a second. What is the single most effective ingredient to benefit from your journey to Medina and Mecca? Khalas, this is, I believe this to be the top of the list. This is the single most effective ingredient in order to benefit. The more you have of this, the more you benefit, and the less you have, the less you benefit. Of course, everyone benefits, inshallah. And if I'm not sure if Yaqeen knows this, but I think I'm like, I can call first on almost every video that comes out. So the last video that came out, where it just came out a few minutes ago, and I was just walking to the from my car to here, and I played it. What would you say to the Prophet ﷺ if you've seen him, Sheikh Umar? You know, I mean, I'm sure most of you haven't even watched it yet, Sheikh Umar. I just watched it and I said, SubhanAllah, this is something that you should think about, right? So here's, what is that one the most effective ingredient? And I believe it is istihdar, being present-minded when you arrive in Madinatul Munawwarah, understanding that this is the same city, same soil that the Prophet ﷺ once walked upon. This is the same mountain that the Prophet ﷺ once saw. This is the same Kaaba where the Prophet saw with his tears, with his blood, which he hugged on, which he saw on the day of conquest of Mecca, which he saw when he was leaving Mecca. I mean, think about all these different things, and then you can feel it. And if you just look at the Kaaba is really, I mean, nobody in the world would make a home like this. You know, it's a structure there, and people, you know, there's the curtain of the Kaaba, but it has such an important, you know, it plays such a huge role in our lives. When I look at the Kaaba, and this is what my father taught me this, like, you look at the Kaaba, I try to think of all the different times that the Prophet ﷺ saw the Kaaba, and the Kaaba, and I would say, if the Kaaba had a tongue, what would it say? Right? If the moon had a tongue, what would it say? If Ramadan could speak, what would it say? So have istihdar, be present. If you're present-minded when you go to Medina and Mecca, you're able to benefit. And you kind of, that's why Imam Malik Rahmatullah would never walk with his shoes in Medina Munawwara. So many people, they're so pretty, like, I hope I don't walk on the same place where the Prophet walked upon, right? And so I could speak about that some other day, but coming back to Ramadan, imagine Ramadan now. And imagine how the Prophet ﷺ would interact with the month of Ramadan. And it's not like, you know, hunger was the order of the day before. It was not like they were just hungry in Ramadan. Hunger was the order of the day. They were hungry before and after. And the month of Ramadan came to them as this gift. And they said, okay, this is an opportunity to really benefit from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His mercy. So they were so present-minded about every single moment. They said, the people of the past, you could literally count how many words they would say in the month of Ramadan, because they wanted to capitalize on every single moment. Because it's not really, at that point, like, it is tiles in front of you. It is this big structure of Masjid Nabawi, but they could look beyond that. You know, that's looking beyond that. Yes, it's a month of Ramadan. You know, Sheikh Ibrahim said, well, I don't know who you're fasting, if I'm fasting, but you know, that's the truth. But look beyond that. Look at how much benefit you can have from this. And then that leads you to ihtisab. When you're present-minded, then it leads you to now understanding what the reward is. And I don't know if there's anyone more excited, honestly, to, even though this Ramadan will be extremely tough for our family, because the first last Ramadan was the first Ramadan in which all of our brothers were together because there was COVID. And we let Taraweeh, me, Sheikh Abdul Aziz, and Mullah Abdul Rahim, Sheikh Abdul Rahim, three of us, we let Taraweeh and we read the whole Quran in my mother's house with my mother behind us and our, you know, my sister-in-law is my wife. And, you know, every after 8 rakats, me and my Abdul, because I'm the tea guy in my house, so I make all the different types of teas. I act like I can make tea, you know, I make a lot of noise in the kitchen, break something, do this, and, you know, pretend like I'm doing a lot. And so me and him used to make the tea and he used to serve. And I could imagine, I can't even imagine how difficult it's going to be for my mother and my father. And I know how difficult it's going to be for myself. But at the same time, like, this is another opportunity to really, like, okay, we're going to come this month of Ramadan with a broken heart, with a different type of feeling. And now we're going to try to get even more reward from it. Maybe this is the month which can completely heal us from our pain. That's how we're looking at this month. So Sheikh Abdullah, like, thank you for mentioning the ihtisab part, because I believe that it's coupled with istihdar, being mindful and present-minded. If you don't have that, if you come to Salah and you're not present-minded during Salah, how can you be present-minded enough to think, seek the reward? So you have to be mindful that you're there, and then it leads to seeking the reward.
That's a beautiful point you mentioned. It just reminded me about the wisal of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right? You know, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the wisal is where he would fast continuously. He wouldn't break his fast at Maghrib. He would continue on for days fasting. And then some of the companions would do it. And then the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked them why they're doing that. And they mentioned that really we see you to asir. He said, "Innama yut'imuni Rabbi wa yasqini." And some of the scholars mentioned that it was because he was so mustahdir fi siyamihi. Just like you mentioned, he was someone that was so present that wasn't even a thought. You know, subhanAllah. And as you mentioned, the alone time with i'tikaf, and I highly implore Muslims to really, to make i'tikaf if possible. If it's not the 10 nights, one night between Maghrib and Isha, the scholars have mentioned just, you know, time on purpose, spending alone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahi, when you reach a certain point to where you'll understand the whole concept of how the Prophet ﷺ made wisal, because you're just, your mind is, and your soul is so divided, so undivided. You're just really with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as you mentioned, what I tell a lot of youth, even new Muslims, you know, when you're praying, and what do I think about when I pray, and youth, I tell my sons, I know sometimes you're not thinking about, you know, your prayer when you're in your prayer. Think about things that happened in your life and associate that to a name or action of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything. You know, if it's something bad you've done, Al-Ghafoor. If it's something good you've done, you know, Al-Hamid. You know, you say Alhamdulillah, Al-Shakur. Just anything that's happened in your life. You know, when you see movies, you'll see scenes of things of that nature. So do the same thing when you're praying or when you're trying to focus on Allah. Think of things that have happened in your life, and that may help you be mustahdim, someone that is present in the moment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not anything else. So jazakallah khair ala hadha ta'liq on that point that you added, inshallah.
Sheikh Abdullah, I cannot relate with the example you gave me. When you see movies, like, what is that?
Oh,
here he goes again. You know what? Let's see what you know what, man? Just be honest, all right? How many? You don't watch movies in English. That's all it is, all right?
But yeah.
Refuses to watch movies in English. I've never seen the guy eat non-Desi food.
Really?
Mufti Abdurrahman, yeah, like. Hajj, he's that guy in Hajj that's like, roasted chicken, what's this, you know, let me go find he's that guy, Desi chai only, doesn't like he's too good for Americano coffee, he's too good for
the key word for masking movies is documentary. You gotta say that, khalas, then yeah, we'll talk about...
that's right. No, I'm sorry,
sorry about that, but yeah, jazakallah khair.
Allah bless you. So, you know, inshallah, we've got just about 25 minutes or so left. So I want to, let's kind of go through sort of our final advices, but we really haven't heard much yet from Sheikh Ibrahim, Ustad Alubna. So I know both of you, inshallah, have a very specific message for us. Then we can kind of just end off, and I'll try not to, hopefully Mufti Abdurrahman won't say anything that provokes a reaction, kind of, keep it the way that it is. But by the way, one thing before I hand it back off, inshallah, the ad or the video that just went out on the meeting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that was a very beautiful experience for me personally. So I actually interviewed people and I had these questions. I first put them in Medina. I said, "Have you ever been to Medina?" And then started to then ask them, "Okay, well, do you think the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to meet you?" And it's like me, and then it's like, "Yes, he actually did want to meet you." And then after that, okay, well, what will you say when you meet him, alayhi salatu wasalam? So it was a beautiful experience to ask a diverse group of people those questions. So please do watch that video, inshallah ta'ala. It just got released actually before the webinar, and benefit from it, bidnillah. And to remind everyone, the Greet Ramadan with Sadaqah link is in the description, inshallah ta'ala. So please do, inshallah, consider being a yaqeen supporter as always. Bidnillahi ta'ala, and your donation will be processed on the 1st of Ramadan. And with that, inshallah ta'ala, Ustad Alubna, bismillah, your final advice, some words for us as we're going to Ramadan, and then we'll go to Sheikh Ibrahim, inshallah, and give everyone just a few words to end off, inshallah.
Inshallah, jazakallah khair, and bismillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulullah. Totally been enjoying the back and forth conversation, alhamdulillah, benefiting, alhamdulillah. And so I like this, you know, fine nuance, you know, not really movies, but documentaries, right? It's all in the wording. And that ties in nicely to what I was going to talk about, inshallah, kind of. You know, one of the things Sister Sara, alhamdulillah, mentioned, you know, kind of the inner reflection and the inner type of worship that we want to be doing when it comes to husna dhan about other people. And that can help us when it comes to husna dhan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Sheikh Abdullah reminded us about, you know, our worship in that hadith, talking about fasting, prayer, and then Qiyam in particular, and then prayer and Laylatul Qadr, during Laylatul Qadr, inshallah. You know, and another form of worship that I would like us to think about is our mu'amalat, is our dealings with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. So part of our, you know, responsibility towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing the acts that He has commanded us to do. And that's between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it comes to fasting, when it comes to prayer, when it comes to sadaqah, zakat. Of course, sadaqah benefits people, but alhamdulillah, this is, we're dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the ways in which we deal so often, and yet maybe we're not so mindful of, is when we speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. How are we speaking to them? You know, and this very brief, concise hadith from Anas ibn Malik, rahimahullah, radiallahu anhu, I should say, may Allah be pleased with him. You know, as we know that from the age of 10, that he lived with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his mom, you know, asked that he could serve Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so he could learn from him. And he lived with him for 10 years, I should say. And one of the things that he reflected upon in the character of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that he mentioned that Rasulullah, peace and blessings be upon him, never said uff to him. Never once said uff. And he also continued and said, and he never said harshly, why did you do that? Or why did you not do that? And it's, to me, this speaks volumes, subhanAllah. It really speaks volumes. Because when you translate, you know, we can say uff, you know, maybe some of us say that today when somebody asks us to do something or it's in response to something, maybe it wasn't very nice that somebody says, but you know, we can do that in terms of an eye roll, shrugging our shoulders, a hand flip, like whatever or whatever, you know, subhanAllah, there's so many ways in which we can do that. And if we were to only reflect upon how Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealt with people, you know, here he's dealing with a youth. He's dealing with somebody who's serving him, dealing with somebody in the privacy sometimes of his own home. And here is where, you know, we see, in many ways, of course, we see Prophet Muhammad's character shine, because he was not the type of individual that only when he was in the market, he was very kind because everyone's gonna see him, or only as a statesman in his meetings that Prophet Muhammad would be, you know, moral and use good words and be kind to individuals or do the right thing. You know, it wasn't just in dawah. He was who he was, which was an amazing individual, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, always exhibiting good character, not only in public, but also in private. And I this is something I would like to always work upon, you know, work on myself, and a reminder for all of us today, inshallah, that actually it's our private, you know, our private interactions with those who are around us the most. Those are probably the interactions you want to be the most aware of, because you're on your best guard when you're outside, when you're at work. But perhaps due to, you know, we're tired, it's the end of the day, we feel the most comfortable, we love these people the most, yet sometimes these are the people that we can tend to just kind of let our guard down and just say whatever. So how amazing is it? And there's so many times where we could point something out, especially the second part of the hadith. Why did you do that? Or why did you not do that? You know, you see the trash cans outside and you tell your child, why didn't you put them in the trash? Or didn't I tell you not to play video games? You should be praying. Didn't I? You know, why didn't you do this? Or why did you do that? SubhanAllah, you know, we have a narration from Anas ibn Malik when he, one time, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, sent him out on an errand and told him to do the errand and to not get caught up and play in the street, you know, not to delay this errand. And of course, what happened as a youth, Anas, he, radiallahu anhu, he went out and he saw kids playing in the street and he started playing and he forgot. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came up to him from behind. He put his hand on the shoulder. He did not say, what are you doing playing? And he did not say, why did you not already do? He just asked him, knowing that he had not finished the errand. He said, did you complete the errand? And then Anas said, I'm going right now. I love his answer too. I love Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's, you know, question. It wasn't why didn't you or why did you? It was, did you do it? Giving Anas the honorable opportunity, right? To speak with dignity for himself. He didn't have to be ashamed. He didn't have to be put down. It wasn't a criticism. He says, I'm doing it right now. Just it, subhanAllah, we can learn volumes from this type of interaction. It shows dealing with other people with kindness, even though you have the authority, whether you're in a business situation, whether you're in a family situation, you're a mentor, you're a parent, or as a child as well. You know, you think, my parents are, maybe you're caring for elders, or maybe, you know, you're in different situations where you think you can just answer in any way, because especially in Ramadan, you're tired, maybe you're hungry, maybe you're having that before Maghrib headache that I always get, alhamdulillah, or I shouldn't say always, I quite often get, and you just feel like you can respond in any way. But this is a reminder for us that even when you have the authority or the position to just kind of respond in any way, that you really be mindful. And I like the word that our beloved Sheikh reminded us of, istihdar. That mindfulness. If we're mindful of our words, Sheikh Abdurrahman, if we're mindful of our words, if we're really thinking and we're having taqwa, we're thinking about, is what I'm about to say pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is what I'm about to say, is it displeasing to Him? If we're mindful, then we are able to take our character to the next level and really choose our words wisely. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam also mentioned in another hadith to speak good or keep silent. Speak good or keep silent. So if you know what you're going to say is not, you know, it's just kind of a little bit of attitude. It's maybe there's some validity in it, but it's not going to come off in the right way. Delay it. And maybe when you're in a better situation, you can think of a better thing to say to address a real situation. Timing is also important. Then you can speak, but otherwise silence is golden. And the last thing that I wanted to mention was really interesting. And, you know, this is this psychology of negative talk, you know, whether it's a self-criticism, you know, for every negative self-criticism that you think of in your head, it takes 5 to 6 times positive thoughts about yourself to overcome that. And the same ratio is really interesting. At least is the research that I've read, you know, as a layperson. But that in business, that the most successful teams are the ones in which management had like a 5.6 ratio of negative, you know, criticisms, you know, this is probably not a good idea. You know, obviously it's said in the right way, but it's still considered negative, that their positive comments outweigh the negative 5.6 to 1. It's really powerful, subhanAllah. And here we see it in action. So inshallah, we take this opportunity to be not only mindful of our worship in terms of, you know, when we're fasting and when we're praying, but also mindful in how we deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation, inshallah.
Jazakumullah khair. Sheikh Ibrahim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You know, just to give inshallah some reflection that I had recently, just dealing with my community as we're coming into Ramadan. And, you know, one of the things that has been, that I've been thinking about is, you know, we talk about some of the amazing examples of the righteous people when it came to this month of Ramadan, that, you know, for instance, Uthman radiallahu an recited the Quran, all of it in one rak'ah during Ramadan. That Al-Walid ibn Abd al-Malik, and it was also narrated, Imam Malik, would do khatm of the Quran once every 3 days. And I think that those stories are so motivational if you're in the realm of their ibadah, right? If you're somebody who can do 2 khatm of the Quran, you know, do the khatm of the Quran twice in Ramadan, then you read these stories and you're like, you know what, maybe I can do once a week. But the problem is we have a lot of people in our community, they've never read the Quran cover to cover. And they'll hear some of these stories and it has a demotivating factor for them. And so I find that people sometimes fall into 2 categories, where one of them is they think that, you know what, these examples are way beyond me. I'm demotivated. There's no way I can accomplish anything in Ramadan. So I'm not even going to try because I know I'm going to fail. And the other kind of person is the one who says, you know what, let me try. if other people could do it, I'll do it too. And they go as hard as they can. And they, you know, are praying and reciting Quran as much as they can. They do one night, two nights, three nights, and then they all burn out. And all of us know this. Anybody who's been at the masjid, we see the dip happening after a week of Ramadan. People stop showing up. And we know that's the case. And so, you know, there's been amazing lessons that everybody's been sharing today. The one lesson that I just want people to know is, you know, the most important thing you can do for yourself entering Ramadan to prepare yourself for this month is to figure out things that you can do that are consistent, that you can consistently carry on during the month. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, we know, he was asked, what is the best deed? He said, adwamuha wa inqal, what is consistent amongst the deeds, even if it's a little bit. And another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke to the people. He said, khudhu min al-a'mal ma tutiqun. He said, do of the actions, of the good deeds, that which you're capable of enduring, that which you're actually capable of doing. Like, don't take on so much that you know you're not capable of doing it and that you're going to burn out because of it and you're going to end up not being able to take advantage of this month. And then he said, and indeed Allah does not tire until the servant tires, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not tire of rewarding you, of giving you, until you tire out completely, right? And so if you're doing something, and then he said, and indeed Allah loves the most the actions that are consistent. So if we're consistently doing something, even if it's small, even if it's not a lot, if we're consistently doing it throughout the month, then Allah is consistently rewarding us. And if we do so much in the beginning and we try to do all that we can and then we burn out real quick, what's happening is that Allah is rewarding you in the beginning and then He's not rewarding you through the other days. And so that's something that's really important for us to think about as we're entering into this month. And you know, there's an interesting story of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he entered into the masjid and he saw a rope tied between two pillars. So he asked the people, what is this rope for? They said, this rope is for Zainab, for the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that she used to pray tahajjud, and sometimes she prayed so much that she was afraid basically of falling. So she would lean onto this rope and hold onto the rope. So they put this rope there so that she can hold onto it while she's praying. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard this, he said, untie the rope. Don't let her have this rope. He said, if she's tired, she should stop. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was mindful of people taking on more than they're capable of too quickly, right? And so when we look at the example of the Prophet, we say we want to have a Ramadan like our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The methodology of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to build himself up with consistent actions over time. So it's easy to look at the Prophet and see all the ibadah that he's doing and trying to do it right away, recreate it right away. But that was not the method of the Prophet. The Prophet built himself up in his ibadah slowly with consistent actions. And so we need to follow that same methodology. And the scholars, they say, you know, a beautiful statement, رَحِمَ اللَّهُ امْرِئًا عَرِفَ نَفْسَهُ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mercy on a person who knows themselves. And so one of the best things you can do coming into Ramadan is know yourself. Who are you, right? And what are you capable of doing? What is, you know, Ramadan comes and it upends our routines. Our life changes. It forces us out of our comfort zone. So Ramadan should force you out of your comfort zone. But what is an achievable, reasonable thing to do outside of your comfort zone, right? If you rarely read the Quran, can you make it a reasonable goal to recite half of a page a day? Right? Is that reasonable for you? Is that something that you're capable of doing? You need to ask yourself, know what you are capable of doing, and push yourself to go a little bit outside of your own comfort zone. And the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, salawatul khams wal jum'a al jum'a wa ramadan ila ramadan, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, you know, the five daily prayers in jum'a to jum'a and ramadan to ramadan, mukaffarat lima baynahuma, that they are expiating of the sins that are between them. And, you know, when you read this, it makes you think that you should be evaluating your Jum'ah to Jum'ah. So every week you should evaluate your week, every Jum'ah. And every Ramadan, you should evaluate one Ramadan to the other, right? What did I do last Ramadan? How can I make this Ramadan 5%, 10% better, 15% better, right? What did I do last year to do better? And the people who really benefit from Ramadan are the ones who every year, Ramadan to Ramadan, is getting a little bit better, getting a little bit better. And so inshallah, that's just my little advice. And, you know, finally, the Prophet said, قَارِبُ وَسَدِّدُ, right? You know, be moderate in your actions and try to be as close as you can. As in the Prophet saying, you're not going to be perfect. Nobody's going to be perfect. Don't give up on your deeds because it's not perfect, because it will never be perfect. Rather, just keep trying, keep doing as much as you can consistently. Even if you fail, just keep trying again, because it will never be perfect. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can still give us from His mercy and enter us into Jannah because of our actions in this month.
Jazakallahu khairan, Shaykh Ibrahim. And subhanAllah, you know, I really appreciate the bridge. Sister Lubna, you talked about the importance of us trying harder to be kind. And you know, it's not easy sometimes. And if we can be consistent in our behavior, like there's no way you go through 30 days of being so mindful of the way that you talk to people that you just go right back into it after Ramadan. And the same thing is true, I think, with our regimen of ibadah. You're not going to carry the same portion, but you can carry the same motivation, the same habits to a lesser extent after Ramadan bidnillahi ta'ala, to resemble the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam most often. Inshallah ta'ala, as we're coming towards the end, just to remind everyone once again about the Greet Ramadan with Sadaqa campaign. And I just want to say this, inshallah, you might have noticed, alhamdulillah, it was with the support that we got last Ramadan in particular that we were able to produce multiple series this year, alhamdulillah. So the Yaqeen team grew and our content grew. We had prophetic parenting, Sheikh Ibrahim, Sheikh Abdullah did his series on pillars. You know, Sister Sara continued, mashallah, the wonderful work on you know, on trauma and the series there, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. And we've been able to grow and grow and grow and grow. And Mufti Abdurrahman, a series on Iqbal and Urdu, Urdu poetry. That's not out yet. We should do a high quality series though with you doing some, finally let the Urdu come out, inshallah. But, and Ustada Lubna, of course, has been a constant presence as a board member as well. But we've been able to produce so much, alhamdulillah. And that's the idea that the more, inshallah ta'ala, support we get, the more that we can continue to crank out free resources, inshallah, for the benefit of the community. So please do consider supporting us just as you did last year. And bidnillahi ta'ala, if you can do more, you can do more. And share with others the link, inshallah ta'ala. And with the last 7 minutes that we have, I'm going to go around and ask for 1 minute. It's really hard for us to talk in 1 minute. Or I'll just say me. I'll say me and Mufti Abdurrahman. Everyone else, mashallah, knows how to talk in 1 minute. But we, Sheikh Abdullah, just give you the facial expression and that'll tell you everything that you need to know. And I was going to ask Ustad Lubna, by the way, does this count as part of Uf? Because if it is, then Sheikh Abdullah is in trouble. He does a lot of face palming.
Well, he does it while smiling. So, mashallah, I think it's a good one. Alhamdulillah.
So, let's go around. So, Sheikh Abdullah, tafaddal, give us 1 minute, sort of last advice, word of advice to everyone, inshallah. You're muted, Sheikh. I wasn't serious about just needing a face palm. I want to hear you, man. Bismillah.
You know, subhanAllah, as I was just thinking of, you know, Ibn al-Qayyim, he mentions in Wabid al-Sayyib, one of his books, a beautiful book, just talking about the importance of dhikr primarily. The first part of it, he mentions a lot of really interesting points about istiqama and being upright, and how the heart can be upright. He mentioned something very beautiful. We kind of touched on it in the beginning, Sheikh Omar kind of touched on it, in regards to sins and how sins can be a blessing. How? Because when you ponder over your sin, you feel so much regret, and that can assist you in being more of a mukhlis and being sincere. And that's the reality of Tawbah. Tawbah is tabis, to return to something. So you're kind of turning away from that sin because you feel so bad about it, that you are so sincere in the dua, as opposed in a time of racha, in time of ease, you make dua, which is preferred, which is great. But when you think about that sin in prayer and something that you did weeks ago, you know, a month ago, a year ago, a decade ago, you pondering over that sin is one of the strongest means for you to be a mukhlis, to be sincere. So just taking advantage this Ramadan now, even now, and just thinking about, subhanAllah, doing a roll call, you know, while you're in salah, and anytime, you know, especially when you're alone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the time, you know, that you had a grudge with somebody and you refused, you saw them far away, they didn't see you, and you didn't want to walk that way to give them salams. You know, the person that, you know, as you as a father, or you as a mother, that you said you raised your voice and you saw the facial expression on your son, but you wanted to remain the parent and didn't want to show some type of apology or show that you had some form of regret because you want to remain that authoritative, have that authoritative nature within the house, even though you know it's not right. Or the time that you know, knew that you would not be consistent in something, but you overwhelmed yourself because you wanted to impress people, right? Each and every one of us has fallen into that. So I would just say, look over those sins that you have, especially in times where you are alone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sheikh Abdul Wahid mentioned, when you're alone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do a roll call every single night and just see, where have I been deficient? And inshallah, that can be a means of you increasing your iman and hoping for the ultimate reward from him, inshallah ta'ala.
Jazakumullahu khairan. Sister Sara?
Jazakumullahu khairan. You know, as I was hearing both Ustaz Alubna and Sheikh Ibrahim speak, the tip I'd like to give is more dedicated to the parents out there. Being a mother and hearing the things that you were all sharing, you know, a lot of Ramadan, one thing that's so powerful about it is that it builds our distress tolerance. It builds our distress tolerance in the ability to tolerate difficult situations because you're physically depriving yourself of something that you normally wouldn't deprive yourself of. And so your window of tolerance can increase. And so, you know, kind of tying that into what Ustaz Alubna was saying about kind treatment toward others, you know, we build our physical distress tolerance, but let's build our emotional distress tolerance as well, you know. And so thinking about the example of Rasulullah in the way that he treated everybody, including those who, you know, he had so much power over, and us as parents, you know, thinking about our children this Ramadan and trying to make it a very positive experience by building that distress tolerance and being able to, you know, withstand some of the struggles that come through, pausing for a moment, tying into that theme of mindfulness we were talking about, and pausing for just that present moment and deciding, how do I want my child to remember this moment? And realizing this is part of Ramadan in my Ramadan experience and my connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but also in the experience of my child's Ramadan as well, inshallah.
Barakallahu fiki. Sheikh Ibrahim, give me a tweet, like a tweetable quote, man. Advice, like quick, like...
Yaqeen bites.
Yeah, give me a yaqeen bite.
You know, I just want to, inshallah, maybe just mention what the brothers had talked about earlier about having hudur and khushu'ah in this month. And, you know, when we say the word khushu'ah, what does it mean? We could talk for a long time about its definition. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, he uses the word in one verse, وَخَشَعَةٍ أَصْوَاتُ لِلرَّحْمَنِ. He talks about the day of judgment, that all the sound will be khashat, you know, quiets down in front of the Rahman subhanahu wa ta'ala. And, you know, it's interesting because part of khushu'ah, I think, is really churning down the volume of everything else in this world that doesn't matter to us and only listening to our connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so as we enter this month and we want to have that presence and that connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should have that mindfulness, that khushu'ah, where we just look at all the things that are not useful for us in this world and try to turn that down, that volume in this month, and focus only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Mashallah, that's so tweetable. Turn the volume down. Jazakumullah khair. Ustaz Alubna.
Jazakumullah khair. And my inshallah quick advice is, you know, everybody has a different life situation and it doesn't change during Ramadan. So you have the single mom, you know, who's you know, trying to hold the fort down, doing everything. You have people taking care of maybe their elderly parents. You have students that are in the you know, the throes of completing a thesis or what have you. And you have people, you know, maybe who are taking care of small children. So your Ramadan is not going to look like everybody else's, you know, and I think we can still benefit, and inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will still accept from us whatever it is that we're able to do. So plan your Ramadan according to your life situation. Of course, push yourself and set those lofty goals, but this is not a time to feel bad because of a life situation that you're in that you can't change, and just adjust your Ramadan goals accordingly, inshallah.
MashaAllah, tabarakallah, awesome. Mufti Saab, listen, this is not like when you stand up after Maghrib and say, I'm going to be 5 minutes, and it goes 15, 20 minutes, all right? Please. 1 minute.
You got it wrong. It's the Elan that says it'll be a short talk. It's never short.
No sign right. Up. No long talk. Just give us a minute. Bismillah. And English, please. Speak English, Sheikh, please.
Oh, come on, man. I speak English, inshallah. So I would say that something that we can work on this Ramadan is our end of our fast, which is the iftar time. Right? What happens is sometimes we build up on our momentum, our spirituality. And at that moment, we forget that we are not supposed to save our portions of food for one time and eat more. Rather, we're supposed to, the point of Ramadan is try to eat less so we can make that the way of our life. Aisha Lana says, and a beautiful, she says, beautiful statement of hers. She said, "Inna awwala bala'in haditha fi hadhihi al-umma ba'da qada'i nabiyha ash-shib'." The first thing that went wrong in this ummah after the Prophet left this world was people started customarily, habitually eating to their full always. فَإِنَّ الْقَوْمَ لَمَّا شَبِعَتْ بُطُونُهُمْ, when people eat to their full, سَمِنَتْ أَبْدَانُهُمْ, of course you get unhealthy, your body gets bigger. فَتَصَعَبَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَجَمَحَتْ شَهْوَاتُهُمْ, another place, فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, then the hearts become hard and our craves become very, our craves become overpowering. So we always have to go, if we're sitting there after iftar, we ate so much, now we're like, I'll just stay here. I'm not sure if I go for taraweeh. I'm not sure about ibadah. And so I would say that, you know, if we can really, it's not that hard. If we could make it easy upon ourselves, قَالَ لُقْمَانَ لِابْنِهِ يَا بُنَيَّ إِذَا امْتَلَأَتِ الْمَعَدَةُ نَامَتِ الْفِكْرَةُ, oh my son, when you eat to your full, to your neck where you can't even move, then the vision a person has, it goes to sleep. You can't think about things anymore properly. وَخَرَسَتِ الْحِكْمَةُ, you lose wisdom. وَقَعَدَتِ الْأَعْضَاءُ عَنِ الْعِبَادَةِ, and the limbs of your body become weak, and they sit down and they cannot worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anymore. So I would say that try to, at iftar and suhoor, understand that Yusuf alayhi salam used to say that when he was asked, why do you stay hungry more often? And he said that I stay hungry because I don't want to become insensitive to the people who are always hungry. So I want to stay in that state. So I would say one thing we could do is try to eat less at iftar and suhoor. Give it a shot. It's very powerful. And at nighttime, you can stand for more ibadah and cry easier. Because the more you eat, the heart becomes harder. It becomes harder to do good. All of what we said right now would be just so easy if we just relied on sufficient provision only. Jazakallah khair. Exactly. I had a timer on, but I accidentally put it for 1 hour, not 1 minute.
I was going to say that's not 57 seconds. So that...
No, I saw Sheikh Omar like this. He was
I'm serious. I put it on for 1 hour other than 1 minute. I'm sorry. I would have stopped earlier. Forgive me.
Yeah, Allah bless you. I enjoyed everyone's input tremendously, and I'm sure we all did. Jazakumullah khairan to all of you for such valuable input today. And inshallah ta'ala, we pray for a blessed Ramadan, a Ramadan Mubarak for everyone, bidnillahi ta'ala. May Allah accept from us all. Allahumma ameen. And inshallah, I want to remind you all, again, please go, please share this webinar, first of all. Make sure that you press share, whatever platform you're using, inshallah ta'ala, make sure you spread it, because I personally benefited quite a bit, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, from everyone here. So please do share the webinar, inshallah, and please do watch the video that was just released interviewing people about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then get your hearts ready bidnillahi ta'ala for this Ramadan experience that we'll have with yaqeen, doing tafsirah and doing meeting Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on a daily basis. And finally, inshallah ta'ala, asking you once again to please consider supporting yaqeen this Ramadan along with the other wonderful efforts. If you click the link below, your donation will process bidnillahi ta'ala on the 1st of Ramadan. And jazakumullahu khairan. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.